Hello, this is Sydney, a chemistry student that has decided to share what I learned about polymers with others because they are just so important to our world. Last episode, which was a couple weeks ago, I took a little bit of a hiatus. I discussed the basic history and basic chemistry of epoxy. This episode, I intend to finish up talking about the chemistry behind epoxy and then talk about how the epoxy material is used in our modern society. As a brief recap, the epoxy material is a cross-linked polymer network made from mixing an epoxy resin and a curing agent. The epoxy resin is a linear polymer that then reacts with the curing agent and cross-links to create a useful new material. Depending on the type of resin used, the output epoxy material can vary greatly in physical properties. This idea also applies to curing agents in epoxy making. By changing the curing agent present in the curing process, the output epoxy material can have different physical properties. Curing agents all essentially work in the same way. They attack the epoxide functional group in an epoxy resin, causing it to break open and cross-link in the resin structure. There are many chemical options for breaking open the epoxide functional group, but a few have become the most commonly used in epoxy. One of the most common curing agents is known as an amine-based one. Amines are common types of molecules that have nitrogen bonded to three other atoms. In ammonia, a common and important chemical in fertilizers and cleaning agents, the nitrogen is bonded to three hydrogen atoms only. Primary amines have two hydrogens and one other type of group, most commonly something with a carbon in it. Secondary amines have one hydrogen and two other groups, and tertiary amines have no hydrogens directly bonded to the nitrogen. Amines function as curing agents by breaking the epoxide group in a resin and turning the chain end into a hydroxyl group, an oxygen and a hydrogen. The curing agent most typically starts as a primary amine, but once it reacts, it becomes a secondary amine. From there, the molecule can react once more, going from secondary to tertiary amine. Another common curing agent is known as an anhydride. The name anhydride literally means without water, and this name comes from the fact that if these chemicals react with water, they break apart. This means storage and transport of the chemicals has to be careful because sometimes even coming into contact with the water and the air can change their structure. But because of this reactivity, they are a common and useful type of molecules that can function as a curing agent. There are a few more types of curing agents commonly used, such as phenols and thiols, but I want to talk a little bit more about the curing step of the epoxy reaction and the important things to take into account with that step. First, curing of epoxies is a highly exothermic process, meaning that when epoxies start hardening, they can heat up a lot. This would be completely fine, except some chemicals decompose when heated too much. So sometimes the curing step and the curing agent needs to be chosen to control and slow down the curing process so the output material still has good properties. However, the process should not be slowed down too much, or else you will be waiting for forever to create a hard physical material, which is also not very useful. So while sometimes the curing process should be slowed down, other times the process needs to be sped up. To speed up a curing process, an accelerator is added to the mixture. These accelerators are just chemicals that may cause faster curing, but are not the main curing agent you want present in the epoxy material. Another thing to take into account in the curing step is what other chemicals or materials you want present in the epoxy. The curing step is the last chance to add any of these other things to the mixture before it is legitimately set in stone. Other things to add into epoxy could be stabilizers. Stabilizers are added into so many plastic materials just to make the plastic last longer and retain its physical properties longer. Additionally, a common class of epoxies today are known as fiber-reinforced epoxies. These epoxies have resin hardened with some type of fiber present in the hardened mixture to add extra mechanical strength to the material. Common types of fiber used are glass or carbon. This type combination of epoxy with fiber would be known as a composite, where composites are made by combining two or more materials together to form a new and different material with unique physical properties. So, with all this information about epoxies being said, let's discuss exactly how they are used in society. One of the most common uses of epoxies is in surface coatings and paints. Although paint and coatings of many surfaces might not need to have incredible weather resistance or strength, there are a lot of household items that benefit greatly from epoxy coatings. Epoxy coatings are especially useful in preventing corrosion because they are waterproof in nature and thus can protect what they are coating from water damage. Additionally, epoxy is naturally fairly chemically resistant, so it can protect materials from acidic solutions or non-water-based solutions too. This means epoxy coatings are very common and can be found in things such as washing machines and dryers, cars, metal pipes, and more. One problem with epoxy coatings is they do tend to yellow with exposure to sunlight, and while this does not inherently hurt their physical properties at first, it is just ugly. So people will cover epoxy coatings with some other paint and essentially use it as a fancy primer. Another common use for epoxy materials is as adhesives. Epoxies make great adhesives because they are strong and will actually bind to many other types of materials. Additionally, they have low shrinkage, which means as they dry and set, they do not shrink in size that greatly. This low shrinkage makes epoxies great for purposes where you want the shape and orientation of the material to remain consistent as the adhesive dries. All these great epoxy properties make them the adhesive of choice for things like aircrafts that really need not to fail and need a strong glue. One of the most interesting uses of epoxy I read about for this episode was for wind turbines. The properties we have already discussed, like chemical and water resistance, high strength, and low shrinkage, along with other properties like relatively low weight and good fatigue resistance, makes epoxy great for use in wind turbines. Fatigue resistance refers to how many times a material can undergo small jolts and bends before it actually breaks. So in wind turbines that are constantly turning and moving, having materials with good fatigue resistance presents an extremely important physical property to their success. In wind turbines, the majority of epoxy is put into the blades of the turbine to make the blades stronger and better. For these purposes, the epoxy is fiber reinforced to beef up the physical properties even more and make sure they do not break for a really long time. Overall, epoxies are common coatings and adhesives in our modern world. They just tend to not be in the things we see every day, so we do not consider them as much as other types of plastics. But because there is still a multi-billion-dollar plastic industry, it is important to me that we end this episode by discussing some of the sustainability and environmental impacts of epoxies. Like most plastics, epoxy resins are made from petroleum products, making their production and sources unsustainable. Additionally, due to the nature of the cross-linking reaction to form the epoxy material, they cannot be easily mechanically recycled because they thermoset and will not melt into a different form. This means in order to recycle epoxy materials, a chemical recycling method where the crosslinks are broken would need to be used in order to fully recycle epoxies. However, this reaction does not really exist, and that's for a couple of different reasons. First, one of the reasons epoxies are so amazing is that they will not randomly break under certain specific conditions, and it is resistant to most chemicals. So making an epoxy that is easily chemically recyclable would inherently change some of those benefits. Second, the cross-linking reaction to make epoxy releases so much heat in order to build the network that the energy would need to be put back in the system in order to reform the epoxide bonds and groups, and that would just be a lot of energy. Third, Right now, we can barely chemically recycle simpler and more commonly recycled plastic materials. So chemically recycling epoxies and setting up the infrastructure for that is a challenge to face once chemistry can figure out how to chemically recycle something like polyethylene and make that profitable for the world. With all this maybe disheartening information about epoxy sustainability being said, chemists and engineers are still working to at least produce epoxy from more sustainable chemicals in the future. So even if the end product is not recyclable, perhaps the reagents to form it can come from better sources. Thank you for listening to Epoxies Part 2 and learning with me about this wonderful material. Hopefully, next time you see this word in your everyday life, you will have an idea of what it means now. Until my next episode, I hope you have a nice week.